And some of you know me that I just recently wrote a book about healing, spirituality and medicine, Physician Heal Thyself, A Doctor's Journey from Medicine to Miracles. And really that is my journey of going inside to find the healing. That's really what it is. And so now as I step into sort of this ministry, from medicine to ministry, because I'm also a commissioned minister with Living Church Ministries, it's perfect because this experience is bringing to mind all of the experiences I had throughout medical school and training when I was asking these questions about what is healing and how does healing happen and what are the blocks to healing and what can we do to support healing. And I had this story that came to my mind when I was working as a pediatric infectious disease specialist for about 6-7 months in New York City in the 1990s. And this is when we were working with AIDS and kids, congenital AIDS and all of that. And so I was the fellow and I was helping take care of a family that was, it was a grandmother and her granddaughter, who was about 10 or 12 years of age. And there were uncles who were raising this daughter the family was raising this granddaughter because the mom had already, the mom was not able to take care of her because she was affected. She was not so much affected with AIDS, but she had a lot of social issues. She was dealing with drugs and drug addiction and just wasn't present. So this family, they were ministers, and the grandmother was like this, a woman in her 60s and very, you know, wearing her handkerchief and very, very old fashioned. And you just got the sense of her always having lived a life where she had prayed very regularly. Like you just got that sense that she'd gone to church and kneeled and done her rosary. And you just had this real sense of peace and presence. And that was what it was with the family too. So we would come to them and we would share with them what was happening. And I remember this little girl and her dimples and her smile and how loved she was and how cared for she was, even though it wasn't, you know, her mother wasn't in the picture, but this, the family of uncles, aunts, the grandparents, the grandmothers, especially were taking care of her. And that quality of love. So they were Jehovah's Witness and they couldn't accept blood transfusions as part of their belief system. And so the child was getting sicker and she ended up going to the ICU. And when she was in the ICU, the family met with us outside and we were talking to them about blood transfusions. And so I remember that meeting. It was so quiet and so present. We were expressing, they were listening, they were sharing, we were expressing. And so we said, this is what we'd like to do. And they asked us, the uncle, I remember him saying, will this cure our girl? Will this cure her? And we said, well, no, it won't cure her. You know, she's got the virus. It won't cure her, but it could support her. And they said, well, you're doing other stuff. You're doing antibiotics and, you know, you're giving her fluids and there's like a plasma fluid that they were okay with. So this is not in our belief system. And, you know, we really respect everything you're doing, but we really want to, we've talked to her. I'll say her name is Natalie, and Natalie understands what's going on and she has an idea of heaven and she knows what that is. And so they were all very joined in this way of approaching. And so then the nurse practitioner who was taking care of this little girl was really, really distraught because she had been taking care of her for a long time. And she really felt like, I want to help her. Why can't this family accept this? You know, what's wrong with them? And so then they were talking to this little girl. She's 12 years old, so let her make the choice. And I had this like something in my stomach, like, that feels really uncomfortable. This little girl is going to be asked to do this at this time when that's how she's been raised. And the social workers had been meeting with her and she'd been drawing pictures and heaven and all, like she was not, in a weird way, there was an acceptance, you know, amidst this real suffering. So the little girl just was like, no, I want to do, you know, whatever my family, like I'm okay with that. And then she did pass. She did die. And I was asked to come onto the ward. It was like 1 or 2 in the morning. The ICU called me and said, you know, please come, because the mother had come now. Like she hadn't been really able to come before, but now they probably shared with her, the family, you know, that she's passed. And so the mom was like hysterical. She was screaming and we had to get security involved. And I watched the grandmother and I watched the other family members trying to be with her, the mother and the granddaughter who just passed away, and the grandmother just hugging her and kissing her and crying, but all with this presence, which was amazing to me. I just was like, wow, like how does one do that? You know? And we all witnessed it. And she was even trying to, you know, support the daughter, like, okay, let's go, you know, we gotta go now. We gotta go home now and it'll be okay, all of that. And then we our team, you know, we went to the funeral, and again, they really just thanked us for everything we'd done, you know, just were so gracious. And at the same time, I was taking care of a teenage boy, and he had hemophilia and also had HIV because of blood transfusion. At that time, they weren't being monitored that well. So that family was of a Jewish background, and they were struggling also, like how to support their boy. And they had no context. Like they just had no context for the suffering. And so it was just, what is the purpose? What is the meaning? How do we do it? And I remember one of their, the oncologist on that was taking care of them, she would sit with them, and she was actually practicing of the Buddhist tradition. And she would just sit with them and she would say to this young man, you know, we're all preparing for death every day, every day. This is part of life. This is part of life. But it was just, it was hard, because in those times, that family that had been practicing all along, it's like they had an anchor. And so their spiritual practice was large enough, broad enough, deep enough to sustain the whole experience. I mean, that this little girl that they raised, you know, and took care of, and the parties and the birthdays and everything that they did for her, I'm sure. And now her exit, you know, that this is her time. And the other family, it was just, this is meaningless. This is meaningless. And that added. It added, there was the illness and then there was more suffering. So those experiences and many more like that brought me into this like deeper, deeper journey of what is healing. And I came to this place of healing is really the acceptance of inner peace. That's what it is. And that might include healing of the body, and it may not. We don't know. We just don't know. But there is a peace. And there is a sense of a life, capital L, that continues. And I share that in my book as well. And that story just came to my mind, and I could see the picture of the little girl and the grandmother. And so I felt like I wanted to share it, because it felt like they were wanting to be shared, you know, that they had something to express that could be helpful for whatever our challenges are right now. So I also, while I was reflecting on this, I was thinking about what else could be helpful. And what I found helpful, as many of you know, I'm a student of the Course in Miracles. So yesterday, the lesson, it was maybe yesterday or maybe the day before, I might be off a day. It was lesson 76. And the lesson was, I am under no laws but God's. Now, some of us are very comfortable with that term God. And like this family, you know, was Jehovah's Witness, religious and all that. But some of us, that word may not be comfortable. And I really don't think it's about the word. I really don't think it's more the experience. So even in the Course in Miracles, it says a universal theology is impossible, but a universal experience is not only possible, but necessary. And when I think of a universal experience, I feel they're pointing to an experience of being comforted, of feeling we're not alone, of feeling peace, of feeling connection, that's the universal experience I feel will sustain us. And I can see that it's happening, just us gathering, you know. Let's see, my friend here, Kiriko, yeah, in Japan, you know, and my friend Francisca is joining us from the Philippines. And I know many of us are in different, you know, different states and all of that and different countries. So there is this universal experience that we're all opening to. So I'm just going to read a little bit of this and just reflect to you a little bit of what came to me that was really helpful. Because yesterday I could feel the fear. I could, the schools have closed down and I could feel, you know, the possibilities, all the things that were being posted of what other countries have gone through, what it could happen. And we know what it's been like in the, you know, in the, for shopping and going to empty aisles and all of that. Right. So I was reflecting on this. And then when we're in fear, like someone was saying in China, first there was fear and then there was a lot of blame, like who to blame, who was the one that had caused this, because that's what happens in fear. We, it's such an uncomfortable emotion, right? We want to deal with it. So instead of knowing how to go in, we go out because we just want to project it. It's like a hot potato. We want to throw it out. So first it was the fear and then it was the blame. And now they're moving into coming together and working together. So when we blame, we feel something else has power, right? Something else could have been done differently. It would have changed what's happening now. And most importantly, it would change how I'm feeling, right? Because if someone had done that, then I wouldn't feel this, I would feel better. And I was receiving, and as I watched this, these family which were facing similar circumstances, it was their state of mind that helped them move through it. It was really their state of mind. And so what I do, you know, this coaching for inner peace, which was given to me, I'm learning that that's what it is. It's health is inner peace, healing is inner peace. But if we are going to experience inner peace, we have to have an understanding of where peace is not. So one of the teachers, Muji, that many of you probably watch on YouTube, I remember a video of his, and he said that if I were to tell you that something really valuable is in this room, and he was being interviewed in a small room, and he said it's this valuable jewel, and it's in this room, you will find it because it's in this small room. You know, you're going to find it. You'll look at every corner and you're going to find it. But he said, if you think it's everywhere else, then you'll be looking, 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 and you'll never find it. So this valuable jewel is our inner peace, right? That's what it is. Priceless. You know, you can't put a price on it. On a still mind, a peaceful mind is no small thing. Yet to find it, right? Where to find it. And so that aspect of the ego mind that's out to blame, then we start looking in the wrong places. Right? And that's what it is. So this lesson really helped me to refocus on, okay, this is where it is, and this is where you will find it. So allow me to just read a little bit with some reflection, and I'm hoping that this will be supportive to you as well. So I am under no laws but God's, but like I said, it could be under no laws but the laws of love, the laws of peace, the laws of comfort, the laws of safety with a capital S. The laws of oneness. We have observed before how many senseless things have seemed to you to be salvation. And if the word salvation doesn't feel comfortable, again, think of inner peace. Think of forgiveness. Each has imprisoned you with laws as senseless as itself. You are not bound by them, yet to understand that this is so, you must first realize salvation lies not there. While you would seek for it in things that have no meaning, you bind yourself to laws that make no sense. Thus do you seek to prove salvation is where it is not. Today, we will be glad you cannot prove it, for if you could, you would forever seek salvation where it is not and never find it. The idea for today tells you once again how simple is salvation. Look for it where it waits for you, and there it will be found. Look nowhere else, for it is nowhere else. Think of the freedom in the recognition that you are not bound by all the strange and twisted laws that have set up, twisted laws you have set up to save you. You really think, now this is really creaky here, listen to this. You really think you would starve unless you have stacks of green paper strips and piles of metal discs. And that's referring to money, right? Money. You really think a small round pellet or some fluid pushed into your veins through a sharpened needle will ward off disease and death. You really think you are alone unless another body is with you. So this is so profound because this coronavirus is, it's affecting, like, think about this little thing that we can't see, it's invisible, and that havoc it's seemingly to do. You know, Wall Street is closing down. People have to work from home. We're not sure how will people that can't work from home, how will they survive economically? How will everyone survive, right? So our security, so-called security, are the symbols of financial things outside, and those things seem to be crumbling. So people are feeling all kinds of distress. It's not even if you're going to get sick or not. It goes beyond that. It's like going after all the places where we thought, quote unquote, our safety, our salvation, our peace of mind was there, right? If my bank balance has this much money, then I'm good. If I have this, then it's not good. If I have less, then I'm really in trouble. So it's going right at it. And then think about this, a small round pellet or some fluid pushed into your veins. So we don't have a vaccine. When will we have a vaccine? What if we never find the vaccine? Or if we have a vaccine, who's going to get it first? Will there be enough to go around? So the mind and the ego mind is like, it's like throwing. It's throwing and throwing things at us. And we all really, I was reflecting that whatever practice we have, like if we were here, we're going to go up to here. It just has to. Because this is like every dark shadow in your unconscious mind is going to be exposed. And if we can see it that way, that's what it's for, to be exposed. And then we receive, for me, like receiving this lesson, showing me, listen, it's not there. It was never there. Like this family, to receive blood transfusions would have, might have seemingly extended life. Maybe, maybe not. We never know. But they, in their mind, they took that information in, they accepted it, but there was something else that move them to surrender into a bigger sense of life. And I'm not, this is not saying this was right or wrong. We don't really want to debate that. It's just an example of where the mind can expand, you know, just this idea that it's not, and here I am, I mean, I'm a medical doctor, right? So I was thinking about, I'm sharing this and I'm not saying for us not to do the measures we're taking. You know, my son is home. My parents, that was when I was being interrupted a little bit. They were trying to get onto this call and they weren't able to. They're homebound. You know, they're elderly. We have someone coming in and delivering groceries and all that. I'm washing my hands. I mean, I'm doing all those things, but I still feel peace won't be found there. You know, I just know peace won't be found there. We have to go within and we have to withdraw power from external things and put the power where it is, where it belongs, where it always has been, and then allow the outside to be informed by the inside first. So go inside first, find that power, and then perhaps we will need treatment. One of us could, I could come down with it anyway, you know, it's possible, but trust that I'll be taken care of. But if my power, if my sense of safety is outside, then I'm going to get worried about it. I'm going to be worried for others. You know, even if I'm well, what about my loved ones? What about all of you? Are we all going to be okay? And then I'm going to spiral into fear. So for me, this lesson helped me to say, especially with it so specific, talking about the money, you know, the fluid, like a sharpened needle, vaccines, all of those issues that are up in the news right now. It is insanity that thinks these things, the insane ego mind that puts power outside. You call them laws and put them under different names in a long catalog of rituals that have no use and serve no purpose. You think you must obey the laws of medicine, the laws of economics, the laws of even health. Protect the body and you will be saved. And isn't that what's happening everywhere? It's how to take care of the body. How many bodies are going to be okay to take care of other bodies? How far apart bodies should be? You know, it's all about bodies. And like I said, again, this is not to say that you should not listen to that, or that we should judge others because they're doing that, or if people are wearing masks and masks don't work and this kind of mask. Again, those are ego diversions. Those are really ego diversions. And we want to watch our mind. Yesterday, I went to the post office, or 2 days ago, and I walked in and someone had a mask on. One woman who was serving us had gloves on. The other man didn't. Everyone was where they were, doing what felt comfortable to them. So we don't, there's no need. It was like, wow, this is okay. But again, if we all focus on that, then we will not find our peace of mind. And if we don't find our peace of mind and consistently find ways to accept when we're not at peace of mind, it's okay. But to know that, to find our way back to it, then I think we're going to have more suffering. And my desire is for us to come together to support each other in expressing all the blocks, all the obstacles, raising them, letting them come, because that's what this virus is doing. Flush it out for forgiveness, and then find where our power always was. So these are not laws, but madness. The body, and this is so beautiful, the body is endangered by the mind that hurts itself. The mind is powerful. The mind and how it believes, how it interprets, is very powerful. The body is endangered by the mind that hurts itself. The body suffers just in order that the mind will fail to see it is the victim of itself. So the body suffers just in order that the mind will fail to see it is a victim of itself. That is such a profound sentence, and I was reflecting on it. I had to like stop and read this again. So the ego creates this identity that I'm just this body, nothing more. That's it. I start here, I end here, and that's it. And I've got separate interests, and you've got separate interests, and that's what it is. And then to prove that that's all I am, that I'm not anything more than that, illness. Illness proves now the body is weak. So if there was a loving, caring presence, why would the body be ill, right? We hear that, right? Why would God allow this? You know, these are questions that often are put up. So if we can go beneath it, and I always say, you know, why questions never really have good answers. So we can go deeper by saying, what is this about? What is really happening here? Help me. Inner wisdom, inner guide, light, whatever you call it. Help me, because I want to understand. All right? I mean, what's going on here? Well, if the ego mind is operating, then it wants to prove that we are weak. That's what it wants to prove. And what better way to do it than to use the body? And the body is suffering. The body is dying. The ego is like, I'm right. You're not this magnificence or light or love. This is all stuff to be read in books. This is not true. But this is saying that it's so hidden. It's like, you know, a thief in the dark won't be caught, but you turn on the lights, you're going to see it right away. So it's so hidden, and we have to be so gentle. This is not about blaming anyone or blaming any body, or certainly our body. It's not to be used that way. It's like, can we sink into what this is saying? That in our lack of awareness, because we only can operate at our level of awareness, that ego mind will use the body to prove that nothing else exists, that we're powerless and helpless. The body's suffering is a mask the mind holds up to hide what really suffers. So instead of being able to go within, we get very just occupied by the body. Now, it says in the Course, we can either get super occupied by the body, or we can pretend the body is not real and go into an unhealthy denial. We're not going either way. We're going right in the middle. We're going right in the middle, because I believe that's where the miracle is. That's what miracle-mindedness is, that we know our center, we're in our center, and then we allow everything. Doctors, hospitals, vaccines, medications, precautions. You know, I'm not going to say, okay, my son, no, he has to go to school, right? Like, as to show, like, oh, look, I'm a Course student, and I'm going to show that the mind is powerful. So, no, you got to go to school. No, you know, as in Rome, do as the Romans do. We're going to appreciate the gifts of this time, which will, I'm sure we'll go into a little bit later. But a mask the mind holds up to hide what really suffers. Where is the cause of suffering? And that was my question as a doctor. If I'm here to heal suffering, and that's part of the Hippocratic Oath, right? To heal suffering. Well, where is the suffering? Where is it? So I can go deeper into it. And that brought me into these teachings that it's in the mind. And for me, the Course in Miracles served as like a perfect manual to help me unlock that. It's like, it was like my, you know, like my manual to really understand these principles. So it would not understand it is its own enemy, that it attacks itself and wants to die. It is from this your laws would save the body. It is for this you think you are a body. So sometimes, you know, we have spiritual practices and we want to be light and positive and uplifting. And certainly I want that. I one of the reasons I'm doing these calls is for that purpose. I wrote my book for that purpose. But we can't get to the light without going through the darkness. We just can't. And we have to engage with that shadow. Some people call it shadow work. And we don't want to get lost in it, you know, we don't want to be analyzing it forever, but we want to engage with it and to see that there's a part in my mind that's not healthy. It's like a plant. A part is dead. It's dying and you need to take it out and repot it. You know, that's what's needed. Or in a garden, a certain part has died. My friend Philippe is a gardener, so he will appreciate that better. I mean, I'm sure he can give a better analogy, but he's joining us. So that's for you. I know we've had many gardening analogies, but it's like that. So we have to accept that we have that with the utmost compassion, you know, with the utmost compassion. Wow, there is that in me, but it's not me. It's not me. It's something I've taken on. It's like a virus, right? I've taken it on, but it's not me. And it's affecting me and I need help. I need help. So I need to first uproot it, right? I need to see it and then I need to bring it to the light. But that assumes that I've turned inward, right? I've got to get off the screen. I've got to come into a little bit of quiet, maybe journal, maybe join, you know, in a meeting like this or join with a mighty companion or be in prayer or meditation or for a walk or whatever works, painting, gardening, drawing, whatever brings me inside so I can look at this with light and love and make a different choice. Because now it's not outside. The power is here. And now I can make a different choice. I want to make a different choice. Because I want healing and I want healing for everyone. And I want this healing to extend to everyone. And even people not on the call, that's my desire that they're feeling this as we're speaking. It's being received. That is how powerful the mind is and how powerful it is even more when we're joining with, you know, one purpose. Okay. So there are no laws. So can you understand? So if the ego has this idea of the body, then it sets up the laws under which the body, so we go out and out and out into this craziness. It's just craziness. So it takes a lot of willingness to like come back, right? Because we're all out there. First there's a body, then the laws, now you've got a body. The body's got to be clothed and bathed and taken care of and needs all the comforts of the body. So it just gets, that's why people just get overwhelmed. This is like, whoa, what is this? What is this? And we're experiencing this. I feel like, you know, the whole earth is trembling. Like there's like tremors everywhere, you know, where do you go? Where's our safety? And we're kind of wanting to be shown our safety is right here. It is here. So the laws of God can never be replaced. Wow. So the laws of love, the laws of comfort, the laws of true inner peace can never be replaced. We can take comfort in that. We can take comfort in that, that these laws exist. And we need to go beneath these other laws and like get to the real, real cause of what's going on. So if someone gets into an accident while they were, you know, drinking or something, and then in the accident, they have something happen, we would say the primary cause was the drinking that caused the accident and then caused, right? That's the primary cause. And then we would even go deeper, like a 12 steps program to root out, well, what's underneath that? You see that? Like, so like, what is the proximal? In medicine, we say, what is the proximal cause? And so here we're being shown the proximal laws, the deepest laws are these laws. And that's where we want to go. That's the root of the suffering. So they can never be replaced. We will devote today to rejoicing, right? Rejoicing, thank you, that this is so. It is no longer a truth that we would hide. So if we've got to go through darkness, but we know that's where we're going, then let's do it. And we can do it together. It's not a journey we have to do alone. We realize instead it is a truth that keeps us free forever, right? So this is our super immunity. This is what we're talking about. Magic imprisons, but the laws of God make free. So magic is whatever is external. Having said that, the Course also teaches we can do magic and miracles. We don't, again, this is not about like, you know, don't have to do the outer stuff. But again, if that's all where you're, you know, if you're putting all your money on that, then that's going to imprison you. That's what it's saying. Magic imprisons, but the laws of God make free. The light has come because there are no laws but his, but the laws of love. So it says, we will begin the longer periods today with a short review of the different kinds of laws we have believed we must obey. I just wanted to check the time. Okay. These would include, for example, the laws of nutrition, right? The laws of immunization, of medication, and of the body's protection in innumerable ways. And aren't all of those laws, again, everything is being like, do we have enough food? Is there enough immunizations? What about an anti, you know, retroviral? What medication will help? All of that. Think further. You believe in the laws of, so it's even going further now. Okay. In the laws of friendship, of good relationships, and reciprocity. I don't know if I'm going to say this right. Reciprocity. Yes, good relationships and reciprocity. Perhaps you even think, so let's even talk about the laws of friendship. So just between countries, right? We in China, like the whistleblower, the first doctor, and how like there was an expectation, no, you keep it hidden, right? The ego, you keep it hide, keep it under covers, and how that was experienced. And then the division between countries and between communities and which community has it and which doesn't. And people, 2 months ago, my friend who was from Vietnam and, you know, of Chinese descent, we were having dinner and she was saying Chinese kids in schools are being bullied. You know, they're born in America. They've probably maybe never even been to China and they were being bullied because of what's happening in China. So just the ideas of how this can start to put everything like, what does it mean to be a friend? What does it mean to be a neighbor? You know, what does everything is being asked in question? And then the blame, like they didn't do it right. Our expectations of they should be the ones that are safeguarding our health. They should be the ones that shouldn't. And you can put whoever you think they should be, you know, it doesn't matter, or whatever we read. So this is all part of like, I feel these are like labor pains, you know, everything is coming up. And we want to witness it. We don't want to shut it down. But like this lesson is showing us that, like, I almost feel like, you know, for those of us who are students of the Course, you know, Jesus wrote this course, like, did you know this was going to happen at this time? Like this lesson was like, thank you. So perfect. You know, thank you for sharing it with us because it was like, you knew that I would read this now and I would need this, you know? So he's like, you have a guide and this guide is saying, listen, all of these things are going to, you know, they're going to be up for question and you're not going to find your security, but you know what? It's going to be okay because I've kept your security safe for you. It's right here, but you will. So we need to go into our own mind. Where are my grievances? You know, where am I holding any sense of anything? Because it's almost like it's such a powerful purification that I feel like it's a wave that it's coming to just purify it and take it for you. So give it, like ask yourself, do I want peace or do I want to be right? You know, do I want peace or do I want to be right? And that's a question we can ask ourselves again and again and again, you know? Okay. I'm going to share another story. So this is about, even if you think that there are laws which are set forth, which is God's and what is yours, even those, many religions have been based on this. So I have a friend who's in an Irish Catholic family, and the sister, so his sister, is very, very devout. So apparently, right, the churches have been closed, and now this is like holy days. This is, you know, we're getting into Lent. Lent is here now, and soon into Easter and Good Friday and all that. So she couldn't receive the Eucharist. She couldn't, because it's not being done. And for her, that was like, oh my gosh, like I can't receive God. Like God is in this ritual and this experience. And her mother was trying to counsel her and say, you know, he's within you. Like God's here. Like it doesn't depend on this. And she was like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand, because I can't do this now. Like, it's not the same, Mom. It's not the same. So look at where this is going, right? Like everything that's dear to us is being questioned, and it can be really painful. You know, it can be really painful. Okay. So again, these are more strange. There are no more strange than other laws. So even religious laws, no more strange than the laws of medicine, the laws of economics, the laws of nutrition. It's all the same. There are no laws but God's. Dismiss all foolish magical beliefs today and hold your mind. So this is an invitation for us to hold our minds in silent readiness. Silent readiness. To hear the voice that speaks the truth to you. Silent readiness to hear the voice that speaks the truth to all of you here, because all of you are messengers of peace, are ministers of peace. You're all here to heal and extend healing. That's our purpose. So in silent readiness to hear the voice that speaks the truth to you, you will be listening to one who says there is no loss under the laws of God. There is no loss. Payment is neither given nor received. Exchange cannot be made. There are no substitutes, and nothing is replaced by something else. God's laws forever give and never take. Hear him who tells you this and realize how foolish are the laws you thought upheld the world you thought you saw. Then listen further. He will tell you more about the love your Father has for you, about the endless joy he offers you, about his yearning for his only Son, created as his channel for creation, denied to him by his belief in hell. So, for me, when I read this lesson, I felt it was like a love letter from the beloved presence within me saying, come to me, my child. I know you're worried. Come to me. I know you're tired and you want to serve and you want to be helpful, but come to me. Let me replenish you. Let me restore you. Come out of the storm. Aren't you, you know, you're tired. You don't have to be there. Come inside. Let me just comfort you. Let me just hold you in love, hold you in the presence of love. Let us today open God's channels to him and let his will extend through us to him. This is creation endlessly increased. His voice will speak of this to us, as well as the joys of heaven, which his laws keep limitless forever. We will repeat today's idea until we have listened and understood. There are no laws but God's laws. Then we will tell ourselves as a dedication with which the practice period concludes, I am under no laws but God's. And it invites us to repeat this dedication as often as possible, at least 4 or 5 times an hour. Now, when you're reading a book like this and it's saying you know, it's giving you this huge, deep, deep, profound teaching, right? So profound. And then it's saying, repeat this 4 or 5 times an hour. It's assuming you're going to forget, right? It's assuming you're going to forget. Otherwise, why? It would just feel like you're done, right? We're done. Close. We're done. But we're going to forget. So if anything, we all have the virus of forgetfulness. We all have the virus of ignorance. We all have it, different degrees, different times, different, all of that. And to undo that, it's like, you know, we have, neuroplasticity. I was blanking out on the name, neuroplasticity, which shows that we've got a way that we think, and we tend to think in ways that we tend to think, you know, that's a body in motion stays in motion. So there are grooves, there's pathways, and reactions arise. They're so fast because the wiring is so quick. It's like, I didn't even realize that someone said something and this happened and this happened. And it's like, boom, 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 you know, like that. And maybe something comes out of our mouth and then we're like, oh, I really didn't want to say that. I'm sorry. Because it's that quick. So we want to be, you know, compassionate with ourselves and realize that, like, we got to lay down new pathways, you know, baby pathways. And when you have something that's a baby, it needs a lot of care, right? It needs a lot of care. It needs a lot of attention. And again, from gardening, like, you know, the saplings, like they just, you know, they're just coming out, little roots. They're just coming, right? You're not going to stomp on them. You're going to be really careful. So at least 4 or 5 times an hour. And I might even say 10 times an hour now, like every time you read Facebook or every time you open your email or every time you get a call from someone, you know, like I'm under no laws, but you are under no laws. And again, please replace, you know, if the word God, you know, no laws but love, no laws but comfort, no laws but safety. So, and it says, in response to any temptation to experience ourselves as subject to other laws throughout the day. So subject, when I feel something has power over me, that's a sign, okay. I'm in the Course in Miracles, we talk about being in the right mind that's aligned with truth and peace, and then in the wrong mind. And again, it's not a judgment. It's just, are we moving towards peace or are we moving away from it? So a temptation comes. Okay, that's how we practice, really. And a lot of, I've been listening to other Course in Miracles teacher, one of my friends, Kirsten, and she was saying, now it's like, whatever practice you're doing, it's like now the rubber meets the road. You know, now you really get to watch your mind and see triggers that maybe you didn't know you had, you know, now come to the mind. And if we can be happy learners, like in a sense, it's not about how well we do even in practice. It's not like, you know, we get an A+ today and we get a B. It isn't that. It's like, I want to practice, you know, I want to give my willingness to this. I don't care how long it takes. I don't even know what that means. But if I have this powerful mind, and I have a desire, which I believe all of us do here, a desire to serve and be of service and be of healing influence, you know, healing invitation, then why not give my mind to this practice, right? If I'm going to do it anyway, right, then let's do this. So that's the invitation. And it says, the temptation to experience ourselves as subject to other laws, it is our statement of freedom from all danger and all tyranny. All tyranny. So when we're in that sense that something has control, it's like being in prison. We don't have to be in prison, but we will feel like we are in prison because our true self lives in that freedom. That's the reminder. And so anything less than that is not going to feel good. And just that not feeling good, something doesn't feel okay, can be our signal like, okay, I need help here. My mind is in need of healing. I need help. And what can that look like in this moment? What would be most helpful in this moment? So that is what I was feeling inspired to share. And thank you for all your attention. Whoever would like to share, I don't know, maybe Mary can help me also. If you want to raise your hand or you can, what I'm going to do is I'm going to unmute. Okay. I've just unmuted Mary. So maybe she can help. She might just help us. If you want to raise, like you can go to the participants, right, Mary? And they can raise digital hand, or you can just raise your hand. You know, we're a small enough group. I've got you all on my screen. And if you want to express or share, please do.
I'm assuming most people know how to raise their hand digitally.
Okay, so I'm going to hear. Yep, yeah, there's Philippe. Okay. Hi, Philippe. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Nice to see you here. Thank you for joining. Thank
you. Beautiful, glowing. Feels nice. No, I just wanted. I was also inspired to join just because I feel like even with the practice and everything, you know, being student and everything, but I feel the distraught and I feel like the uncomfort and I feel like the confusion. So it's really good to hear the things that I already all know in a strange way. It's just like, I guess when the mind is good, when the ego takes over and we're just like so, when fear creeps and it's just like the intellectualization of the process, we're just the quantity of information that we're getting and the analyzing. And so it's all ego mind, looking at ego pictures and the ego movie. And I'm just, this morning, I just realized how much I was so still, like, even if I'm practicing, even if I do my morning meditation, even if I'm still connected to spirits, you know, the most I can, I could feel like I feel so good to hear you this morning, because I was feeling a little bit kind of dry from trying, and dry, and it's kind of my tries were almost intellectual, you know, my tries to connect were intellectual and repeating sentences that were not resonating because I could not feel them. I could not really connect the way usually I do. I could feel my ego thought was just extremely powerful. And so, yeah, I just wanted to say, yeah, I think it's really, really important for us to stay in touch with, you know, with spirit, with our higher self, with whatever we want to call that, you know, that power within us, and to trust it. I think I wanted to add that trust word into that discussion, because I feel like we don't understand anything. We have no clue how it works, you know, the movie, this thing, you know, I'm not a body, and you know, I'm not, you know, I'm not of this world, and, you know, and all that I believe so deeply, but when the movie is so strong and so loud, you know, everything takes over. And so I feel like the trust also is probably part of this process, the trust of healing, which I tend to doubt when I'm like feeling so confused after those moments. Yeah. And also the, like you said, to be very gentle with ourselves when we start to analyze the situation again in sense of what should I do now, and should I clean that cell phone and just touch it? Right. And I'm going to, you know, bring say hi to my mom, she's 77. Should I leave the grocery shopping for 8 hours, 9 hours in the basement before she touched them? And all those like crazy things.
Yeah.
That's just mixed. They are so conflicting and so against everything that I believe in, the way that, you know, I didn't buy any hand sanitizer. I just kind of was, you know, take precaution, but without being too crazy about it. But still, I have the responsibility of my mother living above, and, you know, so it's just such a confusion. So I think, yeah, I think I really, really appreciate what you say about just remembering, like, I mean, it's as many times during the day we need, obviously we have a time right now to really, you know, go back inward and to just trust, you know, and to try to listen and to find that peace again, you know. So just wanted to share that.
Thank you. That's really beautiful, because I have, it's funny, I don't know how it was, I was trying to have my parents join on the call. They've been home, right? They're not going out. So usually this is the time they go to temple. And I'm here, and I thought, well, this would be beautiful. They could join, and it didn't work. And so I told my dad, like, to kind of wait, and then he was FaceTiming and trying to join with me. So I'm gonna have to talk to him. But I'm joining with you, Philippe, because we all have elderly relatives and elderly, you know, friends, and, you know, definitely. And we think of that. We think of elderly as, like, somehow frail, right? They're weak, right? Their immune system. And just today, my friend Calico, whom you know, Philippe, she's, some of us know Calico, and from Mexico. So I had talked to her. She's a chiropractor who's now really devoted herself to these teachings. And I had read this, there was a 104-year-old woman in China who survived from the coronavirus. They showed that, you know? So, I just when I look at those things, and that's what would happen to me in medicine, people would say, well, this, but I said, but here are all these exceptions. And then we'll say, well, this, but I said, here are all these exceptions. There would always be exceptions. You know, there would always be exceptions. So then it's like you said, it's like trust, right? It's like trust, because we can't use anything external to be as a complete safety. It has holes. The ego will, like here you are. Okay, your mom is safe, right? But you've got groceries that were exposed. So what do I do with the groceries now? Like, you know, and, you know, as the virus, you know, like, do I, right? It doesn't end, right? It doesn't end. And so I totally join with you. And I think it's a beautiful thing, because the trust muscle is really being developed now. I totally join with you in that, beyond what we've had. You know, it's stretching. It's really stretching. And I think we want to be honest with wherever we are and bring it into prayer. So I'm just bringing this into light for all of us that have that fear of those who are elderly. Like, I'll be okay, but what about the elderly and all that? Like, we're just going to bring them in to this light, that they too are much more than what they seem to be us. It's what we seem to see outside. You know, they have light, they have love, and everything is being taken care of. And we're just joining to be present and to be truly helpful and continue to be of service. And really, that's all we, you know, we're being asked. But thank you for bringing it up, because those are fears that, you know, I was experiencing them. And, you know, I think that's going to be, when I was inspired to do this, I felt like this is going to be one of those things where we got to show up really daily. We got to show up. So I just felt like I'm just going to show up. And this is not going to end in a day. You know, it just feels like that. It's going to take whatever time it's going to. So it's almost like we're in like a spiritual boot camp. I feel like, you know, we're in this place where we just, you know, just stay together. And so thank you. Thank you for your sharing. Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's see. Here we go. Is Vera? 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 Okay. Yeah.
It's not so easy for me. I'm from Germany, and I got my course a few minutes ago, and I love this daily workbook lesson you told about. It was actually 2 days ago. A very strong lesson I found. And I want to share a little bit of my day yesterday, and I woke up and I felt very very sad, very deep in my side. I feel sadness. It touches me again. And yes, and I got to know, I watched my mind, and it was not a fear about the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. I had my thought are images, one workbook lesson. I had images, pictures in my mind, and it was standing, being in the supermarket in front of empty shelves. Mm-hmm. I saw this, and it was a little bit devastation for me to see this picture with always in my mind, my thought of in my mind. And touches me also deep. And then I felt I want to have dialogue with Jesus. And so I decided to make journaling, writing down in dialogue nearly 1 hour. It was been very intense, and after this I felt peace, quietness, and I was doing I was feeling better. And I asked him at the end, what is to do for today? And he said, go out, take your buy. I want to have to buy in the supermarket because my refrigerator was nearly empty, but I hope not sold to Jess. And he said, and go, give your light and bless people you will meet. And in the afternoon decided to go to the supermarket. Was a little bit irritated. I watched my mind, I watched people, not so many people there in the supermarket. Okay, some shelves really empty, the bread and so on. But after this experiences in the supermarket, I felt I was not so joyful or not so open. I would have thought I am. I went to the supermarket with this goal to have it in my mind, but being in there. That was a little bit irritating, and I don't know what was going on. I hope, or I said to me not to blame me for this, that I would have thought to do it better. This blaming, yes, was a very strong and intense day with all the experience. Not too much, not long time, but very intense and every day, I think it's in the whole country, the whole world, the restrictions by governments are going on. But we have to. Jesus said at one point to me, "You are so bitterly needed. You are so needed. You all." Especially the course and the teachers of God to bring the light, bring healing in this situation. Thank you for sharing it.
That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful how, like, going into the supermarket with spirit and having the purpose, it's not just about getting the food, it's that I have something to give, I have something to share, and I have worth and I have value, and I have a purpose, and that's really beautiful because that purpose takes care. It just takes care, It provides. So thank you for demonstrating that to us because I know many of us are. I don't think there's been any experience where we all can say we really understand what you're saying because we're all living it in some shape or form, right? Like, so this experience is so amazing in the way that it has that potential to bring together that universal experience, And you're sharing that by that we can all be teachers of love and light. So thank you.
Thank you.
For your demonstration. Thank you. Okay. Was there someone? Mary, was there someone else?
Oh. Yes, Catherine.
Oh,
Catherine has her hand raised.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. Hi, Catherine.
Hi there. It's so nice to meet you. After hearing so many wonderful things about you, I've really enjoyed this. But I wanted to share this morning with the focus on the coronavirus that's going on, how important it has been for me to not only find the peace within, but to recognize when the peace is not there. Mm-hmm. I've been isolated for 3 months now because of a health challenge that's been going on. And in the beginning, it was quite devastating. And pain was of an intensity that I couldn't remember who I really am. Mm. I could not remember that I am that God experience. It was simply pain. And then after about 2 months of that, I finally had an awakening and remembered who I am. And since then, the suffering has stopped. The pain is still there, but the suffering has stopped.
Wow.
But it was very interesting to me that last week, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I had intended to make my debuts out in the world again.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to the theater. I was going to a women's group. I was going to church on Sunday. I was actually going to drive myself. I've been just really looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And my grandchildren were going to arrive today. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, every single day, every single event was canceled due to the coronavirus. And I really got to take a look at how disappointed the ego mind can be when my expectations are not met. And how easy it is to just jump out of being peaceful. One moment, one telephone call, peace is gone.
Yeah.
And to be able to have the tools to be able to just accept that the peace is gone
mm-hmm.
has allowed me to come back to the peace just by letting myself not be peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm upset, it's disappointed, and I made it through all of them until I got a phone call last night rescheduling a procedure that was going to happen a week from today. It's been rescheduled because of the coronavirus until May the 9th. Wow. And I had not realized until that phone call came how much faith and trust and my desire to know specifically what's going on in the body. And now I would not be able to know till May what specifically is going on, and how I just had a come apart. It was like every single day and every single day, and okay, I can deal with this, and okay, I can deal with this. And then another day happens and it happens again. And still just letting myself be upset, letting myself not be peaceful,
mm-hmm.
saying it's okay. Just, I see that's what's going on, and just be it. How that brings me back to peace. And I think this is such a key in what we are, because there really is no law but love. There is no really law but God. Mm-hmm. And my mind is very quick to argue that point with me in times of stress. So thank you for bringing that up today. It was a good thing for me to look at.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful, because what I'm hearing you say is, like, first of all, there's a state of peace and there's a state of not peace. And just letting myself know that that's where I am and it's okay. And then that allows me to, you know, but I agree. It seems to always be this journey through the darkness into the light, through the darkness into the light. And it's beautiful. I know for you just to be present and here today, you know, just with this light, you know, we can just feel this light from you. Is such an inspiration to so many of us, because it's like the road, the rubber meets the road, you know, that practice that we know your practice, we can feel it. So thank you for showing us that it's an ongoing daily attention. It's ongoing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Let's see. Philippe, did you want to say no? Oh, okay. So let me see, there's something. Oh, thanks. That was from Mary. Okay. Anything else? Anyone else? Anything anyone's been, that's been a real difficult challenge that they feel like maybe the group, as a group, we can support them? Anything that's coming? Okay, so let's see how we're doing with time here. Okay, we've got a little bit of time. I found, let's see, I wasn't sure how much time we were going to have, so you have to just give me, this is a little bit, for me, technology is something that I find that's not easy for me, so I've got a couple of screens open, so just today I came down and my computer was in charge, so I was like, what's going on here? Okay, someone sent this to me, and I want to read it because I thought it was really powerful. Let me see how I will do that. Okay, I'm going to bring it. Yeah, I think I can do it now. Okay. So I don't know. This was, you know, one of these things on Facebook. So I'm not really sure who the author is, but if it's okay, and if another question comes, we can stop again. And, you know, but if no one has anything to share, then I thought this might be helpful. What if, that's the title, what if there is so much fear, and perhaps rightfully so, about COVID-19, and what if we subscribe to the philosophy that life is always working out for us, that there is an intelligence far greater than humans at work, that all is interconnected? What if the virus is here to help us? To reset, to remember what is truly important. Reconnecting with family and community. Reducing travel so that the environment, the skies, the air, our lungs all get a break. Parts of China are seeing blue sky and clouds for the first time in forever, with the factories being shut down. Working from home rather than commuting to work, less pollution, more personal time, reconnecting with family as there is more time at home, an invitation to turn inwards, a deep meditation, rather than the usual extroverted going out to self-soothe, to reconnect with self. What is really important to me? A reset economically. The working poor, the lack of healthcare access for over 30 million in the US, the need for paid sick leave. How hard does one need to work to be able to live, to have a life outside of work? And washing our hands, how did that become a new thing that we needed to remember? But yes, we did. The presence of grace for all. There is a shift underway in our society. What if it is one that is favorable for us? What if this virus is an ally in our evolution, in our remembrance of what it means to be connected, humane, living a simpler life, to be less impactful, more kind to our environment? An offering from my heart this morning, offered as another perspective, another way of relating to this virus, this unfolding, this evolution. It was a time for change. We all knew that, and change has arrived. What if? So I just thought this was a way for us to ponder this time, and maybe for all of us, like if something in that spoke to you, and I can probably copy and send it. I can make a PDF. I'm not really sure about the author, but if you'd like that, would some of you like to receive that? I can send that. I can send that along. Just email me. Some of you I know, some I don't. So you can email me and I'd be happy to send it. But I also feel like for us, you know, Vera talked about journaling and whatever practice we have to like ask ourselves, what is this time asking of me? Like, what is it asking? Like, maybe it's surrender. Kathleen talked about, you know, how she was ready to go and then she couldn't go, you know, like a, maybe, you know, like a letting go. I don't have control here. Or is it, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a creative something that someone has been wanting to do and now there's time to do it, you know? Or maybe it's just being in silence more. Maybe it's less talking. Maybe it's more talking. I don't know, but I feel like, you know, in the hero's journey in Joseph Campbell, the hero, and there's a something that he's come up against, whatever it is, but it's here to teach him. And then through that, he really becomes the hero, you know, and then he has something to share and he comes back and he has something to share. So we're all on this like hero warrior journey. And it seems to be external, but it's really internal. And so here we're fighting our own demons and dragons and all these things collectively. And some people said, you know, this is like, I think Mary Straub shared with me, one of the other ACIM teachers said, we're like in a collective state of panic, you know, a collective panic. But collectively, what is being asked of us? You know, what have I asked of myself that somehow I haven't given myself permission? You know, what is it that my heart has been longing for? And now finally, there seems to be time in really weird, strange circumstances, you know, that no one really expected. So I think this what if this is here to help us? What if this is the hero's journey and this is inviting me into my next, whatever it is, my next step, you know, whatever that could look like. So that's something that I wanted to leave you with. And yeah. How are you all doing? Are you feeling that you're good to stay on together? Or are we feeling more or less? Oh, okay. I see a hand there. Okay. Let me hold on. I've got two remotes here. So just be patient with me here. Okay. Hi, Francisca.
Oh, hi, dear. That was an okay sign.
Oh, that was an okay sign.
I don't have anything to share with you right now. So, okay. But except that was, it's beautiful what everyone has shared, including you, of course. So thank you so much. It's just peaceful just to listen, just to hear, you know, the thoughts and the experiences. And so all of this is just great. Thank you.
Thank you. Francisca is joining us from the Philippines, and she and I we've gotten to be really close friends. And we were talking about being online, like, you know, she helped me with my book. And I said, we did a whole book online, right? So it's easy being online, right? It's not a new thing. So yeah, thank you. Thank you. I know it's late where you are. So thanks for staying in with us. Thank you. Okay. Yes, Miss Mary, yes. Oops. Hold on. Why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I think I have to do it because I muted it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this has been beautiful. Thank you so much, Seema. I just wanted to sit in the appreciation of the joining. I think this is very healing just to be here and to feel this beautiful energy coming from everybody and your inspired words that and using. You know, when we talked yesterday about the workbook lesson, it was like, oh my gosh, this is everything. It's like, and it's for me, again, it's been even more powerful having it slowly given in a way that helps to really get it, what Jesus is trying to tell us in a way that, we can take it in together and process it together, not just intellectually. It's like it's really gotten into my heart. And so I'm appreciating that. And then I just wanted to add that today's workbook lesson is I am entitled to miracles. And as I was reading that, it was like, it's time to step up and accept your miracles. And that's what I'm, you know, the what if. What if this is a time to accept that I'm entitled to miracles? And I think I love that Catherine shared her story, and I didn't know the latest development, but it's so beautiful that it's like Jesus is going, well, this is what it's for, because now we all get to benefit from this big come apart. It's like, we'll have a come apart with you. Because I've been having my own come aparts with things that, have been coming up. And it's just an opportunity for us to collectively release everything and to collectively come together and join in love, because there are no laws but love. And so this was so perfect. And it's just, for me, it's everything I hoped it would be. So thank you. And I just want to put a little question out there, because I've already had someone ask me, how can I get the recording? So I know you're talking about putting it out email. I don't know if you might post it on your Facebook group, or if you have a group email. I know that I can post it on our Messenger group, because it's someone from the Messenger group. So, and also the continuation of this. And I for me, it's very, very helpful to have the words from the Course. So I can put in a personal, that to me is a gift, to get those words from Jesus coming through you, through Spirit, through you, with your great insight added to it. So, because that was extremely powerful for me, and it's very, very soothing too, just to know that we are totally loved constantly, no matter what it's looking like, and to be reminded, like you say, we forget. So to be reminded again and again. And so, yeah, so some more information about the 21 days, because I know that has power. And so I just kind of, I'm going to shut up because my dogs are going crazy. So, yeah. So what's next? That's what my next question is.
Okay.
love you.
So love you too. Thank you, Mary. Yeah. I felt inspired to talk to Mary Straub about this inspiration, because I wanted to see what she felt, and we both joined together. So she was really instrumental in supporting me to step into this step, which was my step, to do this. So thank you, Mary, for your love and support, and all along, just talking about the different aspects. So yes, I am recording it. And I was going back and forth because I wanted this to be a safe space where everyone could express everything. Like Catherine pointed out to us, we need to talk about not being at peace to be at peace. This isn't just like be peaceful. So I wanted to make this safe. And then I wasn't sure if I make it a Facebook Live or whatever. So there is a recording, definitely. And we'll share a link, and we can sort that out about where to post it, but it can definitely be shared. We'll definitely have a link, and I will sort out how to do that. I'm still sort of asking for help on that, so that the sense of safety is really, really understood. And at the same time, the extension, so others who, can't join can receive it. So I'm just asking Spirit to guide me here. Oh, someone has, maybe Francisca. Yeah, I'm open to suggestions here. Yep. Hi.
Hi. The suggestion I would make is that you cut the recording to just your part where you're sharing your thoughts and you're sharing, but maybe not include people's participation, because again, I think you've created a safe space here where people are feeling very free to tell their very personal, personal experiences and so on. And I suppose the opposite to that would be is for people to raise their hand and say, yeah, you can use mine. No, you can't use mine. Whatever. But that would be an idea. So if that technically poses an issue with you, you and I can talk about that later.
Okay. Perfect. I was asking Spirit this morning. I'm like, I want to do this, but you're going to help me with the technical part. Because
there you go.
I really need help. So look at this. So someone is my mighty companion showing up. Okay. I was thinking about that idea myself, that we could do it that way. And then I think we learn from everyone. So everyone's sharing is so helpful. So, you know, there is a little bit of there, but that probably would be a good, like, middle road. It feels like a middle road way to do that. So thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I will be in touch. I will be in touch. I'm going to take you up on that offer. So don't forget. Okay. Okay. All right. So, I have one more thing, but I still want to just check in with everyone, because sometimes things pop in and people would like to talk or express or share. So, okay. Thank you, Catherine. Yep, she just sent me a message that she's okay with me sharing. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. So we're going to continue. Thank you, Mary Straub. We're going to continue. I was thinking 21 days, a few weeks. It could go more, it could go less, but I'm going to be showing up. I'm going to be showing up. This is part of my practice, really. It's for me to teach what I would learn. So that is my, desire. So yes, we will continue at least for 21 days. That's what we're thinking. And if something changes, you know, as it is everyone, right? Things are changing left and right. But I really believe that us joining, I just believe, you know, the course is always about changing your mind. For those of us who practice it, right? Changing our mind. Okay. Thank you, Vera. Thank you. She says she's okay with sharing too. Thank you. Thank you. So it's about changing our mind about our mind. And yet we know when we change our mind and we change our mind about our mind, we behold a different world. We all know that, right? We all know that. So I feel like I really desire this joining, collective joining, as a way to, like, if there's the contagion of virus or fear, you know, let's let that be and just kind of mobilize love, you know, just like really love, authentic love that is broad and big and deep enough to hold even the virus. You know, it can hold that too. And it can hold the suffering. It can hold the pain. It is the light that can hold everything. No one is excluded. And as far as the Course in Miracles, yes, we're students of the Course in Miracles. So that just really resonates for us. And it's like, I feel like it's what gave me answers. I was in prayer, and then this course, whether I was 2 days behind or whatever, it was the right day for me to read it. You know, it was the perfect day. So my sense is I am going to continue that way with that. But honestly, I really ask. I'm just asking, you know, what is to be shared? And like that story that came in, it's not a story I had thought about, but somehow they, you know, and maybe someone from today, it was helpful, or someone will, you know, hear the recording. I don't know, but like that story just came in. So I'm also practicing deeper and deeper listening and trusting in that. So I trust that it's going to be perfect, but it feels like this is different than just a typical, let's say, support group where everyone brings what they have and we feel better, right? Of course, we feel better when we share. This is also for us to receive answers, you know, to receive the comfort and take that with us. Like it's like sometimes you have a medicine, you got to go to the doctor and take it daily. Like you have to do a daily shot or a daily injection, you know, and then you're going to recover. So I feel like this is like our daily dose, you know, a spirit is giving us our daily, like, here, come, let's gather, let's come together and let your mind be healed. Let your mind come to stillness, let your mind come to peace. So I agree with you. You know, the Course in Miracles is this beautiful symbol where, like, today's lesson, 2 days lesson, like there is, even that lesson, like we could practice that again and again and again, watching our mind for when we feel we are under a different law, you know, the temptation that something else has power over me, like even that. So I agree with you that we do want to start off with that which feeds us and nourishes us, and then allow our sharing to come into that so that we can like heal, right? So that the light, like we bring that, whatever it is, into this space. So I agree with you, Mary. I believe that's probably the format it will be. But there might be some other, I tend to, like this thing was not quote unquote Course in Miracles, but it seemed perfect. Like what if, you know, what if? So I feel like Spirit wants to show us that too, that, you know, even the sense of separation there, like let's heal that. Let's heal that. Let's use those teachings as our grounding, but let's be open to whatever wants to be held that will be, whatever wants to be shared that will be truly helpful. How does that feel, Mary? Did you want to comment or how does that feel?
Oh, yeah. I know you're being given the inspiration. So I'm just grateful for it because it's perfect. I'm not putting it out there like you need to do it this way, please. You know, it's like, I just want to, express that how much it meant to me and that, I think it's very helpful.
Yeah.
So I'm open to whatever is available and whatever comes through you from, you know, I know perfect. So I just am grateful for it. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. and for the let's see, I think we're coming on, where are we with our, yeah, we're almost at time. Yeah, so please let others know that might want to join or might benefit, and we will I feel like there's some names that came that I don't know. I hope they will get in touch with me so we can get the recording, or maybe I'll put it on Facebook so they can get the recording that way, since the ones who shared are okay with that today. So we might be okay. So please let others know. And also, if you come back, like share with us what the challenges were and what practices helped you, because that's how we're going to strengthen. So, you know, we want to hear it all. We want to hear it all. So please feel free. You know, in a space of non-judgment, in a space of acceptance, of allowing and gentleness, we will heal and we are healing. You know, that's my firm faith. That's my firm faith. So thank you. Thank you. Namaste to each of you. To each of you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just gonna. Okay. All right, bye.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yep. It's going to unmute everyone. We can all say goodbye to each other. Thank you.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.